Happy New Year. You know, today is a great day. It is a great day, not only because it's the beginning of a new year, but it's a great day because we get to, not have to, let me make the difference here. We get to, not have to, gather together as Connect Church, a church that has been called by, appointed by, and entrusted by God with the glorious and mysterious life-changing good news gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just want to personally say thank you because you're here. And thank you because I can't think of a better place to be on January the 1st than with God's people gathered together as the church. Amen? I'd rather be here than in jail. I'd rather be here than in a hospital. I'd rather be here than working. And so, you know, this is a great time for us to gather as the church, and I believe it's the best way to start off the new year by worshiping our Creator and the Founder of our lives, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one true God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you think about it, it's because of Him and for Him that we didn't just survive 2016, but now He's invited us. It's obvious, invited us to go on another journey with Him for at least another day or a few hours of the day, but possibly the whole year called 2017. Now, as we open this brand new chapter of our lives, before we kind of get started on this as a church, here's what I want you to do. Not yet, but when I say go, I want us to try and see if we can do this. I want us to get up and find somebody you don't know, and I want you to share the most significant event, whether good or bad, the most significant event that happened to you in 2016. And as you do that, you can stop. I was going to have you move into the center, but I'm not going to have you do that, so don't worry. But I want you, when I say go, find somebody you don't know and share that one main, don't share a bunch, just the most significant that comes to your mind. Are you ready? Go. Stand up and greet each other and share that one key moment. All right, I said one event, not your whole life story. Go ahead and start making your way back to your seats. Man, it's good to hear the talk and see the smiles and just see the interaction. You know, each January 1st represents a fresh start. If you think about it, it's not only for a new year, but for many of us, it's a fresh start personally, a clean slate, a new beginning, a chance to move forward from our past mistakes. How many of you that in 2016 made some mistakes? Okay, so this is a new chance for us to wipe the slate clean and move forward. And everyone here has heard the statement that hindsight is 20/20. Unfortunately, most of the time when we use that statement, hindsight is 20/20, it's used by people when looking back would have done things differently in their lives if they could have. For many of them, this statement, hindsight is 20/20, is really more a statement of regret. I wish I would have done something different. I wish I hadn't have made that mistake. And again, by show of hands, is there something in your life in 2016 that if you could go back, you would go back and change it? Raise your hands. Okay. Most all of us. But here's what I want you to understand this morning, that you and I cannot relive the past. But if we're not careful, we'll get chained to it. Now, let me say that again. Let that kind of sink in and reverberate in the gray matter here a little bit. You and I can't relive the past, but if we're not careful, we can get chained to it. And we know that Henry David Thoreau once said that that we should never look back unless we're planning to live there. But I think we'll all agree that there are, from time to time, it's good to catch a glance in the rearview mirror. I love this picture because it represents what we're going to talk about this morning and next week. This morning, we're going to be looking in the rearview mirror. Just from time to time, it's good to take that glance in the rearview mirror. We just simply don't want to make it our primary focus, especially if you're driving. You don't want to look in the rearview mirror if your primary focus is to move forward. Amen? And well, it's the same way in our spiritual lives, but the rearview mirror is important. Now, there's only one time that in my life where I have been in a car where there was no rearview mirror, and it's when I worked for Secret Service, Protective Services for the military, and I was in charge of a Protective Services team. And when I got there and assumed the team that we guarded a general, we were responsible if he went anywhere, we guarded him 24 hours a day, and I was in charge of that. And I met my team, and we get in the car, and the general always drove in a armored Mercedes-Benz. I mean, this thing was incredible. It was armored, but there was an advance vehicle, and there was a chase vehicle. But in the armored vehicle, there was no mirror, no rearview mirror. The reason being is because the chase vehicle would literally be 12 to 18 inches off of the left rear bumper of the car, so that with no time during any of the convoys that anyone could cut in on the car. And if the driver, his primary focus was to move forward. He was to never, ever retreat. And so they removed out of this, I don't know how many $100,000 car, they removed the rearview mirror, because if he were to ever look back and see how close people were on his tail, he would probably wind up going in the ditch. I'm sitting in the front seat, the general's in the back, and I'm looking in the side mirror, and I'm thinking, my gosh, they're going to run into us. And that's the only time in life where we don't need a rearview mirror. But spiritually speaking, there's times when we need to look back. And so this morning, as we begin a brand new year together, we're going to take a few moments and take a short glance in the rearview mirror, if you will, with the understanding that our main goal as a church, our main goal as an individual, our main goal as a couple or a family is to move forward. We don't want to live. 2016 is gone. We can't go back. Now, we may have to live with some of the consequences of the decisions, but we cannot go back and change anything that has occurred. Now, my prayer this morning as we leave here today is that we will exchange the question, how could I have done it differently, to this question, how can I and how should I do it differently in 2017? Here's the goal. Each year, God has given us a calendar, and when we look back, hopefully we'll see that we have grown more spiritually in last year than we did the year before. It would be a shame to know that we'd come another 364 days now, and we haven't grown any spiritually this time next year. The goal for believers is that we continually are in the maturation process and that we're growing. But sometimes to help us do that, we have to catch a glimpse in the rearview mirror. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to kind of take a unique approach this morning to this looking in the rearview mirror. If you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, turn there and get there to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we're going to, for the next few minutes, we're going to focus on verses 23 to 28. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, verses 23 to 28. Now, once you've found it and got there on your app or whatever, or you can, if you didn't bring any of those with you, we're going to have it on the screen behind us. I'm going to ask that we start this year off by honoring the reading of God's Word by standing. And so would you just follow along silently as I read the Word of God out loud. There's something about the spoken Word of God. The Apostle Paul is talking to followers, and he's talking to a church in specific, a group of gathered believers who are there to celebrate Jesus. And here's what he said. Basically, you could kind of hear him say, "Church, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance,'" you might want to underline that, "remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant established by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance," there's that word again, "of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. So, a man should examine himself. In this way, he should eat the bread and drink from the cup." May the Lord add his blessing and his understanding to the reading and the understanding of his word. You may be seated. Twice what we see here in this passage of Scripture. It's a well-known passage. And this morning we are going to end our service today by celebrating the Table of Mercy, also known as the Lord's Supper, Communion, or the Eucharist. But we are going to celebrate, starting off the new year, remembering. And twice in this passage, the Apostle Paul quotes Jesus, where Jesus challenged his disciples to remember him while they were celebrating the Lord's Supper, to remember him. Now, Webster's dictionary defines remembering as a recalling or a recollection or a holding in mind of things that have already occurred. In other words, the definition is you look back what's already happened. You look in the rear view mirror. But the word specifically used here in its original context literally means this: to remember the past in such a way that the facts remembered have an impact in the present. Let me translate that. Looking back ought to change something now. When we look back, it ought to have an impact on how we respond now. And so just for the next few minutes, I kind of want us to take this passage of Scripture, and there's three key truths that when we look back that we need to understand. Number one, that remembering helps us recall our position. Now, To understand fully the Lord's Supper, the table of mercy, you have to go all the way back to the Old Testament. Otherwise, you'll never fully grasp the meaning. Otherwise, it'll be just like taking a little bit of the element and taking a little of the juice, and it becomes a religious tradition instead of something that's meaningful. But when you go all the way back to when this was initiated, you'll recall that the children of Israel were held captive by an Egyptian enemy, and they were in slavery, doing his bidding, doing his work. And we know that Moses, who was a metaphor, really, of Jesus, who was going to be the deliverer, came in. And God gave Moses a word and said, "Look, you are going to be delivered, but it is going to be through the sacrifice of a lamb." And they would sacrifice this perfect lamb, and they would put the blood of the doorpost, blood of the lamb over the doorpost, and the angel of death would pass over, and they would live. And from that point on, this Lord's Supper, this table of mercy, was known as the Passover. And this really was more than just some small, insignificant event of taking of the Lord's Supper. It represented the sacrifice of what God was going to do for us in Jesus Christ. It was really the prophetic illustration of Jesus Christ himself. And remembering this, they would do this and they would celebrate this, and part of the celebration was remembering where they had been. What was their position? They were in bondage. They were enslaved. They were working for the enemy. They were wandering. They were helpless. They were hopeless, and they were hapless. And they needed help. And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, when we look back and see where we were without Christ, isn't it similar with us? We were hopeless and helpless and hapless. We had no hope. We were under the bondage of an enemy, and we were doing his bidding, not the Lord's bidding. And what the Apostle Paul was trying to help them understand is even Jesus wanted them to remember where they had been, what their position had been prior to the blood of the Lamb. As we start a brand new year, we need to kind of take a moment and look back and see what our position was. Listen. The question we ask ourselves is, where have I been? Let me ask you that. Now, you're here this morning, but where were you spiritually in 2016? Where have you been? Were you where God wanted you to be? Were you where you thought you ought to be? You see, when we look back, we need to take a few minutes and think about what our position was. The interesting part about that question, where have you been, is that God knows where you were. God knows exactly where you were spiritually. Now, the reason for the question, and if you look at the very first question in the Bible, we see that it was the enemy saying, did God really say? But then we see another question where God's first question was, he says, Adam, where are you? Now, God being omnipresent and omniscient and omnipotent, God knew where Adam had been. God knew where Adam was at. He wanted Adam to know where Adam was at. This morning, as we start a new year, I want you to just take a moment and see, where have you been? Were you where God wanted you to be? Or were you where the enemy wanted you to be? Or where you wanted you to be? The table of mercy helps us recall our position without Jesus. I promise you this, if you take a glimpse in the rearview mirror at your life spiritually over 2016, the times where you didn't include Jesus were the worst times. The times, I can promise you in my life, the times I can look back and see, it's every time that I took my focus off of Jesus is where I got sidetracked. The times where I took my focus off of doing what God had wanted me to do, I started doing things that I didn't need to be doing. And I became a lot like Paul. The things I want to do, I do, and I don't want to. But the things I should do, I don't do. And he says, oh, who can save me from this wretched man? I thank God through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, when we think about what he's done for us, where we've been, it begins to change about where we move forward. Next week, we're going to talk about vision and where we think we ought to be going as individuals and as a church. But the table of mercy, the Lord's Supper, helps us recall our position without Jesus. It's not a good place to be in. But he goes on to say, we see here too, he says, do this in remembrance of me. But and in this passage, what comes out to me is that remembering also helps us recognize not only our position, but God's provision. God just doesn't leave you hanging out there. Think about the children of Israel as they thought about their position. You know, over the years, I mean, to think back, and man, I'm glad I'm not there anymore. But the reason that they're not there anymore was not something that they had done. It was something that God had done. Something that God had provided. And so the question as you look back in 2016 is, how has God met my needs? You know, ever since I gave my life to Jesus Christ, back when I was 16, and I have done my best, not always done what I needed to do, but when I have done my best, here's the truth. I have never had all I wanted. I'm needy. But I've always had all that I need. You can't outgive God. God is still Jehovah Jireh. He is still the same yesterday, today, forever. He is our provider. All of our needs. Looking around, God's met most of our needs physically. We have clothes on our back. Well, I don't hear any stomachs growling, at least at the moment, and we'll get out early enough, so hopefully I won't hear anybody at the end of the service. God has provided our physical needs as far as being able to eat. We most of us, I believe, live in at least some kind of shelter, so God has provided our needs. And remembering, when we take of the Lord's Supper, we need to remember that God is our provider. But the most important thing that the Lord's Supper or the table of mercy reveals to us is while we were in darkness, God, this is the Christmas season, the people living in darkness have seen a great light, that God's provision for darkness was the light, Jesus Christ. God's provision for spiritual hunger was Jesus Christ, the bread of life. God's provision for lack of direction was, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. And we see here that remembering helps us to look back and ask the question, how has God met my needs? God knows exactly what you need. And as a good father, as we've sang, how many of us as parents have given our kids what they need, not necessarily what they want? Why do we do that? Because if they get what they want, they could hurt themselves or they could get off track, amen? But when we give them what they need, that food and shelter and clothing and guidance, we do it because we love them. And God knows what you need, but he wants you to know where your help comes from. He wants you to know what you need. Well, what did the children of Israel need? They needed deliverance. They needed a debt payment that they couldn't pay. They couldn't grind enough brick, clay for brick. They couldn't hope enough to get out of bondage. What did they need? They needed a deliverer. They needed a sacrifice. They needed a hope. They needed a future. And Jesus did that. Jesus met their needs, all that they needed. And in meeting their needs, it helped them recognize that God provided for them. And the table of mercy, which we're going to take of in just a few minutes, helps us recognize and recall that Jesus is God's provision for our deepest need. And that is to be connected with our Creator. That is to be spiritually whole. And no longer have the emptiness in our hearts. That is to have direction and purpose for our life and no longer have to question, why am I here? Jesus is the answer to that need. He is the provision. And when we think about it, remembering, come to the last point of this, is remembering helps us respond through participation. You know, looking back in the rearview mirror and go, 2016. It ought to change what we do today and from this point on. See, remembering helps us respond through participation. And even in the children of Israel, as they look back and they were mandated to celebrate the Passover. It was part of their religious tradition. But every one of them had to be involved. There was activity involved. They had to go and try to find the sacrifice and bring together all the elements and put together on the table. Hopefully that through their participation, they recalled really what the activation was all about, what it really meant. Looking back ought to have some effect on our future. And the question we ask when we participate with the Lord's Supper and looking back in the rearview mirror and remembering what God has done for us, is we need to ask ourselves, what am I supposed to be doing? For the most part, we're supposed to be doing. Not because doing is not a result, or doesn't result in our being saved. It doesn't result in us being good Christians. Our doing is a result based on our remembrance of what He's done. Even the Scripture says that it's His loving kindness that leads us to action, to repentance. And we see here that remembering is supposed to spur us to action. God wants you to know what you need to do. I would dare say, as we begin a brand new year, and you're here. So that speaks volumes that you're here. You're wanting to know what the next steps are on your spiritual journey. Here's what I believe. I believe this with all my heart, that you know. And God knows. God is not ambiguous. God doesn't keep you guessing of what He wants you to do. In fact, if I read my Bible right, in John chapter 10, Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." So it's not a problem of Him communicating. It's a problem of us listening. And it's not just a problem of us listening. It's a problem of us obeying. What is it that God wants you to do in 2017? Does He want you to begin using your work as a platform for the gospel? Does He want you to use your college dorm as a place of worship, a place that is set aside and holy for His work? Does He want you to get your relationships right? Does He want you to begin to restore those? Go and ask people for forgiveness. Does He want you to begin to surrender your finances and your life's sustenance to Him and begin to tithe faithfully? Listen, we don't have to guess. God, I promise you, based on my experience with God and the power of the Holy Spirit, He convicts us exactly what He wants us to do. He knows what He wants us to do. He wants us to know what He wants us to do. And until we get those things right, then like Henry Thoreau said, if we don't get those things right, guess what? We will repeat some of the same things and have the same consequences that we had in the past. Albert Einstein said this, and you know this, that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Let me ask you by show of hands, how many of you want different spiritual results this year? Okay, I do. Well, the way that we do that is God's way. We can't do it our way and expect God to bless that. See, the table of mercy helps us respond through our participation with Jesus. When we think about the Lord's Supper and these elements, the bread and the juice, which have representation, are they just to take and go home and you know, it doesn't fill you up, that's for sure. You know, as a kid, I always wanted to go in the back and eat the leftovers when they were done. I'm thinking, you know, man, that wasn't even enough to get me going. Well, this morning, I want you to understand something for all of us, that you and I can't stay where we're at and go with God. We can't do what we did before and go with God. We can't go back. I think last year I shared, or 2 years ago, I shared with you an illustration. I'm glad it's wintertime because I don't have to mow. Amen? Anybody get a witness there? But I brought in a lawnmower. I don't know, some of you will maybe recall that. If all you're doing is looking back while you're mowing, your rows are going to be off, right? And yet we do that all the time spiritually, is we always want to try to keep looking back. No, we need to look forward. And if we don't mow, then the weeds come. And we can't go with God and stay where we're at, but you will never go alone when you go forward with God. You don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have to make up things to do. God will show you what to do, and He'll be with you because the Word of God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I am with you even, He says, to the ends of the earth. And some of you may feel like that was 2016, but God was right there. He didn't forsake you. Now, before we conclude our worship this morning and we celebrate the table of mercy, I want to take just a couple of minutes, and I want to take you on a rearview journey with me. I want to help you catch a glimpse of two areas in my life of looking in the rearview. One is personal and one is ministerial. And I just want you to, my hope is that when you see taking that quick glimpse back in your life and taking that quick glimpse back in the life of our church, that you're going to leave here today encouraged moving forward. That you're going to leave here today saying, you know what? The best is yet to come. You know, in 2016, on a personal note, you know, I started a brand new year, my fourth year here at Connect Church. And as of today, today begins year number 5 at Connect Church. Can you believe it? I mean, that's incredible. Where does time go? But as I reflected this week, I have been here 4 years with you. You've put up with me for 4 years. I don't know. It speaks to my tenacity or your judgment. I don't know. In 2016, I turned 54 years old. This year, I get my senior citizen discount. Yeah, go cheap to the movies and to IHOP. This year, and as I look back, one of the significant, unfortunate events, but very significant in the life of me and my family, was the loss of my mother-in-law. Very difficult for my wife and my family. But on the other hand, as I look back, not even a month later, I gained a daughter-in-law. Allie Sanzone became Allie McFadden as she married my son. Great event. August 4th, my wife and I celebrated 32 years. Another year she's put up with me. 32 years of marriage. This year in 2016, able to enhance longtime friendships. Really invest in those friendships and develop brand new friendships with many of you. I think one of the big highlights for me, and one's pretty obvious, is I began a doctor-supervised fitness program, and as of to date, I've lost 53 pounds. And so, you know, that's a big deal in my life as I look back. I've still got a ways to go, but I'm heading there. My blood sugar's down, my blood pressure's down, I'm off all my meds, or most all my meds, and, you know, I'm having to go buy new clothes. That's kind of fun. And then we just recently found out, not too long ago, that in 2016, that I'm going to be a grandfather again to Amelia Rose Lane. And so, you know, exciting times as I look back at some of the personal events in my life. And so when I look back, I don't know about you, it didn't take me long to realize that God has tremendously blessed Jay McFadden. He provided for me in both the good and the bad times, and He has allowed me another year, at least another day, at least another few minutes, in a brand new year to participate in His plan for me. As a father, as a husband, as a friend, and as your pastor, as a grandfather, And looking in the rearview mirror this last week has helped me to truly realize this, that I am a man truly blessed amongst men. And I think if you can look back and take that time, then that's a good thing. But we can't live there. But looking back has really helped me to realize just how great God has been in my life. And if there was any doubt in my life, I then just stopped and I said, okay, let's move away from personal. Let's look at the life of Connect Church. So I just want to share with you for the next couple of minutes, and it's going to take me a little while to kind of process this with you. But I look back, if there was any doubt about God's goodness to me and to this church, I'm about to eradicate that doubt for you. You see, in 2016, Connect Church was blessed through numerous, multiple salvations, 19 baptisms. We paid off almost $78,000 of debt towards our building. We built a new welcome center for greeting and check-in. We updated our kids' areas, and we did some painting back there and added some TVs. And we said goodbye to a longtime children's ministry, Bethany Dowd, but God provided, said hello to Stacy Oglesby, our new children's director. God provided. Back in that ministry in the preschool and children's area, there are 50 unpaid ministers. And again, I told you at the beginning, I don't like the word volunteers. You're a minister if you serve. And you have a calling. It's not something that you can just call in and say, I don't feel like it today. That's a volunteer. Here at Connect, we have unpaid ministers. And over 50 of you unpaid ministers served in 2016 on a regular basis in the children's ministry. And I thank you and I thank God for that. 20 of your children, our children, went to kids camp this year. We averaged over 40 children each week during our vacation Bible school. I look at our discipleship. We grew in the amount of classes that people wanted to attend, and so we were able to build a brand new classroom to add for the discipleship. We went away on our staff and elder retreat, and we came back with a unity that we needed to be a church that prays more, and so we began a monthly prayer and praise time. And that seems to be growing each and every week, and at least spiritually we're growing deeper as we're trying to do what God has called us to do and pray for guidance. We held at least 10 different Bible study groups each week on campus, and we started a brand new young adults group recently led by Pooty and Reed. We added 4 new off-campus groups, life groups, for a total of 12 groups. As I looked at the numbers, over half, which is a pretty good number, we got a ways to go, but over half of you are involved in a small group experience somewhere, either on or off campus. Our ladies have a mentoring program, and they meet monthly where older women are mentoring younger mothers, and we also have some women just mentoring women. We continued that. Our ladies participated in multiple women's events around the community, including IF and Abundance conferences, and led out in that. And they recently had a whole lot of ladies here for the Jingle Mingle Fellowship with our ladies. We launched a brand new ministry called Kaleidoscope. It's a ministry of the being helping make the broken into something beautiful. Where we're still trying to get that continuing to go, but it was launched a brand new ministry there, and we really wanted to put more emphasis on helping folks with struggles, with mental illness and emotional struggles and spiritual things. And now we offer on a continuing basis counseling here at Connect through Steve Brown, and we can refer you out to places like Dr. Paul Cuppett. But those are things that we implemented in 2016. Hired a new student minister, Jared Scott. Yeah, you can clap for him. You know, we hired Jared, and that was one of his events this morning that he was sharing. You know, he got a new job. And in that, we've also added a new student associate, Liz. She's come on board to help, and a lot of folks are in there. Our average Sunday attendance, you know, I was sitting here watching. These are our students, and they're here on Sunday, on a New Year's Day. Amen. Yeah. The next generation makes it... You know, it blesses my heart that you're here, seriously. And these kids, guys, you are such encouragers to me. Many of you will come up to me and it amazes me. They say, man, I really liked your preaching today. And I'm like, oh, somebody did. So, you know, it just encourages me. And their average attendance is up. They had 15 of our students attended student camp this year at Laterno. They had over 18 kids to our back-to-school bash. 17 went on our fall retreat, and our student ministry continues to grow. They serve. They're setting the example by serving us on Wednesday nights. They served us six times throughout the year, so we could come straight from work, have a meal, and then we could have our prayer time. And they did that on their own with the help of Jared. The student ministry served over 100 free meals to 100 students at Martin High School and over 250 at Kennedale High School to make contacts and put Velcro and to reach out to these students. Here in the worship center, you may not have noticed it, and I'm glad you haven't because we haven't had to use it, but we've enhanced our medical team and our safety team. We have a safety team here and a medical team. So if there is a medical emergency or there's a safety issue, we've got a team that's here every week inside the worship center that are going to make sure that you're taken care of. And if you have a health issue, they'll address, and they're qualified and trained. And if there's a safety issue, they will handle that. New ministries, adding to that. We added unpaid ministers to literally every single ministry here at Connect in 2016. We have ministries you may not even know about. We have a quilting ministry. How many of you knew that? We have a quilting ministry that gave over 45 quilts away to people who were struggling, and they just wanted to say, you're loved, and they gave them homemade quilts and provided these homemade quilts, 45 of them, to connect family and to friends as well as the Alliance for Children, so children who are struggling would know that they're loved. Our men's ministry. Guys, if you're not in a men's ministry, you ought to be back there in that class. They've grown numerically, but more importantly, the word that comes to me is that that group has grown spiritually. Where they're getting real back there, and the men are beginning to gel together, and they not only do they just get back in the class, but they serve together. They have helped paint homes. They've helped repair cars. They've helped people get back on their feet financially. They've stood in the gap when some folks were struggling. They've had fun events. Had a lot of, you know, we call them meat events, where there was a lot of meat served and watched some football. But the men's group is really helping folks, and we installed three new deacons this year: Hal Collins and David Cummings and Gary Williams, who are serving you behind the scenes. And not so behind the scenes. In our worship area, you may not know this, but we held 64 unique worship experiences throughout the year, led by Amanda and 35-plus unpaid ministers. They added 12 new members to the worship team. They created the sets that's behind us each week. That doesn't just happen. In 2016, more people came on board, and don't you just love our sets and our slides and the way things come together? And I just thank God for them. We sang 91 plus different songs throughout the year in 2016, including two songs that Amanda and her team wrote. Nehemiah, she wrote a Nehemiah song she wrote for the series in Nehemiah. I love having staff members where other churches want to use them, and Amanda was able to help lead in 15 off-site worship experiences, and so I love that. We realigned a position this year. We moved Dallas from student ministry over to Creative Arts College, and most importantly, community outreach. And just have watched him in his strength areas there. And I just want to share a little bit in that process in 2016. You hopefully noticed that each month there was a monthly missions emphasis. Now, this week will be the Metroplex Women's Center, where we're going to be collecting change again in the baby bottles. But in 2016, we did something every month where we focused on a specific missions. In the month of January of 2016, you gave $2,300 worth of change in those baby bottles to the Mexican, or to the Metro Mexican, the Metroplex Women's Clinic. I trust you, it says Metroplex right here, I promise. Texas Reentry Services, we have the CEO and founder of that ministry here that helps ex-convicts reestablish themselves as citizens. And in that one process, a lot of women go to prison and they don't have purses. And you collected 60-plus purses and filled them with products that those women need coming out of prison. You helped out in a school, our partnership school. It's the number one deaf feeder school in Arlington Independent School District. And you wrote 80-plus encouragement notes to their staff to encourage them to keep on keeping on. Melanie Limley, who leads our Kids Hope ministry here. We were able to recruit 10 new mentors, and we still need more. If you'll remember, we had Real for Christ ministry, which is out of Kenya, and you sponsored 16 kids. We were hoping for just a few, and you sponsored 16 kids. Randall Limley, who works for the Seed Company, through your giving, your generous giving, we sponsored the translation of the book of Jonah through the Seed Company, so that people who don't ever get to hear the or read the Bible in their own language can read that book in their native language. Your staff set an example, and each month they go to Turning Point High School, which is led by Ray Borden, our principal. That's an alternative school where kids struggle, and they get sent there. And so once a month, your staff goes over and encourages that staff by feeding them breakfast and just ministering to them and praying with them as allowed. Provided 16 community life straws so people would have clean water in Africa. We wanted half that, and through a generous donation, we were able to double that and raise $6,200 to partner with Replenish Water for that. Christmas blew me away. It took less than a day, and you signed up for 45 kids and provided them Christmas. And we had so much left over and people still wanting to give that we were able to give gifts also to the Women's Life Shelter here in Arlington. Through our missions focus, there were 4 Sundays that we took off. That's unusual for a church. We're going to do it a little bit different in 2017, but we took off 4 Sundays, and through those 4 Sundays, you were the message. And in that message, you completed 22 projects around the community and sharing the love of Jesus as unpaid ministers. Through our benevolence ministry, we were able to help 92 families. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but part of your giving, we set aside a portion of that so that we can help others who can't necessarily help themselves at the time. And 92 families through our benevolence ministry, totaling over $25,000 for rent assistance, utilities, car repairs, gas, groceries, counseling, medical bills, funeral assistance, and the list goes on. On top of that, through our missions, we contributed over 15 different ministries and missionaries around the community and around the world. Our college ministry. A lot of our college students are home with their family right now, but our college ministry has grown in 2016. It's more than quadrupled in size. We've served 3 times over at UTA. Each time we serve a meal over there and make contact, each time there were over 225 students that we served over there and just let them know that we're here. Over 50 gospel conversations were had by our college students. They're setting the way. They're setting the example and paving the way. They had a lot of fun events and that kind of stuff, but this year also marked 10 years where Scott and Kathy Oglesby have opened their homes every Wednesday night to college students around this community. Amen. We as a church had a lot of activities, fun events. Again, we got to have some tacos and Babe's fried chicken, and we did a lot of, had some food trucks out there once, and we've also gone camping and canoeing, and we've had football watch parties, and we've had a lot of things as a church where we've come together. We've hosted over 20 different groups that wanted to use our building. Right now, you may not know this, but every Sunday night, there's a church that meets here on Sunday night as they're trying to plant a new church. And we've done that in the past, and we continue. This is a brand new, but 20-plus groups we've allowed to use our building. On top of that, there were 52 weeks of messages, 5 message series, 5 guest speakers, and we had those 4 Sundays of service. And I'm sure I'm forgetting something. That's just a quick glimpse in the rearview mirror of 2016 of Connect Church. I don't know about you. Church, I'm thankful for what God has done. I'm thankful for what God has done in and through you and all that He's done in the life of this church. But do you know what? Here's what I've come to understand as I look back in my personal life and I look back in our church life. God is not only a God of the past. God is a God of the present. And God is a God of the future. And based on what I can see in the rearview mirror, based on looking and understanding with clarity His faithfulness and His goodness and His provision. I am convinced and believe with everything that is in me and is about me that God's best days lie ahead for us at Connect Church if we'll be faithful. He's not let us down. He's not let us go it alone. And so as I close this morning with that glimpse, and we're going to celebrate here in just a moment with the Lord's Supper, the table of mercy, may you and I celebrate and thank Him as we glance in the rearview mirror. But may we live joyfully and faithfully in the present, and may we press on expectantly and energetically with confidence into the future called 2017. Would you pray with me? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your faithfulness. I thank You for everyone, God, who grew in their faith. More importantly now, I thank You for all that are going to grow in their faith this coming year. And Father, now as we celebrate and remember, by participating in the table of mercy, I pray, God, that You would well up inside our hearts a deep gratitude. A gratitude that would move us to action in the present as we press on towards the future. I pray that You would increase our spiritual growth. I pray that You would increase our numerical growth. I pray that You would increase our financial growth. I pray, God, that everyone here now would look forward with this anticipation like never before, that Your best days for us lie ahead if we'll be in the center of Your will. And so, God, as we celebrate the table of mercy, we thank You that while we were yet sinners, Jesus, You died for us, and You gave us, in our position, You gave us a provision. And You've invited us to participate in Your plan. And we do this in remembrance of You. And we thank You for a year gone by. And we thank You for the year that lies ahead, should You tarry. And all of God's people said. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. If you're serving this morning the table of mercy, I'm going to ask that you go ahead and come forward and take your positions. And so here's what we're going to do. They're going to come forward and they're going to stand. And basically what they're going to do is they're going to have some juice, and they'll have the bread. And as the scripture says, this bread represents God's body, Christ's body broken for you, for me. He willingly sacrificed Himself so that you could have a future, that you don't have to live in the past. This blood, He says, represents that His life blood that was spilled out for you, so that you might have life, that you no longer have to live in the death of sin. And He says, do this. And He gave thanks. He said, then do this as often as you do it in remembrance of Me. And so what you'll do is you'll come up and they're going to serve you. You might want to come as a family. You might want to come as an individual. You might want to come as friends. And just take this seriously. But before we do that, and I know we're running a little bit behind, but that's okay. Paul also says, don't do this in an unworthy manner. And he said, a man ought to examine himself. And so I want you to take just a few minutes, if you would, bow your heads and close your eyes and just ask yourself a couple of questions. God, where have I been? Where am I? Where have I been? Where am I now? God, what is it You see in me that needs to get right? What is it You see in me that I need to ask for forgiveness for? Where have I missed Your mark? Now, the beauty of this, the Bible says, is so plain, it's so beautiful. He says, if you'll confess that He will not only forgive you of that, He'll cleanse you of that. So right there in your seat, say, God, I'm sorry where I failed You, or where I failed You even today. Please forgive me of that. Search my heart and see if there's anything I got to get right. Maybe you need to get right with somebody here. And then when you do that, now you're free to take of communion. And I encourage you to do that. But I do encourage you, until you get those things right in your heart, and it's a simple matter of confession, don't take of these elements. It's that serious. But if you do do it, take it with celebration, with hope for your future, and to remember what God has done in your past. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for these elements, which are illustrative of so much, such deep, life-changing truths. And I pray this morning, as we celebrate this beautiful table of mercy, as we reflect back in the rearview mirror, God, that you will energize us to the windshield now. In Jesus' name, amen. As Mandy sings or plays, as the Lord leads, you come to one of these stations. Take up the elements when you're here. You don't have to wait. And then go back to your seat, and then we'll close and be dismissed here shortly.